This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hey friends, I'm Dan Foster. I'm pastor and host of the radio program Grace Thoughts. Grace Thoughts is heard on this great radio station from Monday through Friday at 12 noon during the lunch hour. Remember Jeremiah's famous prayer to God, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart."
Antioch RV Rentals, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a Christian-owned and operated business that rents deluxe RVs for music events, weddings, racing events, and more. Antioch RV Rentals can deliver to your site, set up the RV, and train you on its operation, and take the setup down and away when your event is over. More information about Antioch RV Rentals is available at AntiochRVRentals.com, or Scott is available at 561-503-0811.
There's only one accurate description, one complete understanding of God. It's His Word. It's the Scriptures that define God accurately. And when I'm going through an experience, I trust the truth of the Scriptures, and He gives me some help called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit.
Than an ordinary servant, I want to be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will review how God is compassionate and merciful to His people, even in the middle of chastening. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, Drawn with a Compassionate and Caring Cord, Part 2.
Hosea chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to seek God's face again in prayer. You have the passage. Let the pastor know by saying amen.
All right.
"And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I see thee as the Boim? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints." Let us visit the word now and allow it to speak to us. Would you be in prayer with me as we get ready to present the word of God? Let's pray. Father, we have the awesome responsibility to look at the holy word of God. Father, I believe that we have the word of God today. I believe in your providential preservation of Scripture. Regardless of what new book or Bible is printed on Madison Avenue, regardless of what new translation that is created, God, here's what I know. Psalm 12, you said you have preserved your word. So God, we hold fast to that truth, and we ask that we not be hearers of your word, will do something with it. There'll be a intentional heart for application. And again, God, I pray for those that unfortunately are outside your kingdom. They're here, God, I pray that you grab their hearts, that you would destroy the resistance, that you would deliver them from the lies and the misrepresentations of the enemy. God, be exalted. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Be taking note, several points I'd like to communicate to you in our time together. First point, or statement. These are statements to help you structure yourself. These are statements to help you and assist you with your application. First statement I'd like to present to you is from verse 7. God's people clinging to their backslidden state and calling out to God with hollow and hypocritical hearts. Yes, what we see in verse 7 is God's people clinging to their backslidden state and calling out to God with hollow and hypocritical hearts. Notice the text. He says, my people, it's amazing to me that in this backslidden state, God still refers to the people as his people. These are still my people. Regardless how they're living, their attitude and their disposition toward me, that's my people. My people. It speaks to God, says, I still have ownership. I have still possession over my people. But even though they're my people, there's an attitude. There's a disposition. There is a focus of activity in their life. And their attitude and disposition is they are bent. Look at that word. They are bent on backsliding from me. That word bent in Hebrew, that word means not like you bend a stick or bend metal. That word is to cling on to. Cling on or to hang on to. So they are clinging and they are hanging on to a backslidden condition. That's why it's so hard to reach our backslidden friends, because they're holding on to a false lover. They are holding on to a comfortable position, and it takes the hands of God, not this pastor, not you, to pry their hands off. Clinging on like it's with endearment. Clinging on, and they will not relent. They are clinging on to that backslidden position. What is backsliding? Well, just in case you guys didn't know, backsliding means basically to turn away. At one point, God was the apple of your eye. You prioritized him. You were so in love with God. Before you made any decisions, guess what? You went to your father and say, Father, this activity, this road, this path I'm getting ready to go down, does it give you glory, God? Does it bring you honor? Will it compromise my testimony to you? Because God, the most important relationship in my life, God, is not my wife. It's not my children. It's not the church. My most important relationship, God, is you. Remember those days? Oh, I hope that's not your position where, Pastor, that's me, because what happened, Pastor, I got cold and got disheartened because of the hypocrisy I see in church. You see, Pastor, maybe, and then what we do, we build a case for our backsliding. Because we're too busy looking at other people and their shortcomings. We're too busy looking at our neighbors, looking at the pastors that fell. God says, when did I ever tell you to look the people to live? You keep looking at people, you're going to be in death mode. If you want to live, look to me. Look and live, look to me. And I've always communicated this position about when people speak to me and say, Pastor, you know, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of organized religion. You know, you hear about this pastor, or you hear about this church, or you hear about these Christians. I get along better with my coworkers at work than I do with Christians. What a reproach on the body of Christ today. However, that does not give you a license to walk in your lawlessness. What God is saying, Jesus always said, what did he tell those disciples in the first century? Follow the Baptist? No. Follow the Catholic? No. Follow the Episcopalian? No. Follow the Methodist? No. Follow organized religion? No. Follow mama? No. Follow dad? No. He said, follow M-E. Not M-E-N. Here's biblical truth. I've never seen a person stumble by following and looking at Jesus Christ. How many of you guys know that? If I fix my eyes on Jesus, I know he won't disappoint me. And if he's disappointing me, it's not Jesus that enjoys the problem. I got the problem. Israel had got to a place and state in their life where they were comfortable, bent on hanging on, clinging to their backslidden state. Sometimes it's our attitudes and it's our appetites and the attractions of the world. It's our attitudes and our appetites and the attractions of the world that set us up to slide. And some of us have been sliding for a long time. And this morning, God is saying to all of us, come home. Come back. Come back to me. Repent and release this rebellious state of mind. Repent and release it and return to me. I am waiting. Don't you remember the prodigal? Don't you remember the father saw the prodigal in Luke 15 from a distance running, and he waited for his son and restoration took place. He killed the fatted calf, didn't he? It's time for you to get back to the banquet table with God. He's calling you back. Israel, bent on backsliding. Even though they called on me, okay, they cling to their backslidden state. Not only that, their worship toward me, their heart was hollow and hypocritical. If we're all honest with each other, there's times we come in this building, there's times we come to church, we exalt thee, but God, our heart's not with you. We loft praise. We say amazing grace. Israel got religious and they got in their formal expressions. They had these formal expressions of worship. It was these weighty religious words, but yet they were hollow, empty, disingenuous, hypocritical. My prophets called them to repent. The pastors are calling people to change and get back to God. They smile in my face, but yet they're just backstabbers. They want nothing to do with me. God says, come back. These people, the people of Israel, in a place where they're backslidden and they're offering hollow worship, hollow honor, don't have a heart for God. And you heard the Lord Jesus Christ refer to this in the New Testament. You know, he said, the people, they honor me with their lips, but what's going on with their hearts? There's people singing every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. People on Wednesday night or prayer meeting or when they assemble the church at Ecclesia, called out, assemble all over America at this very hour. But God, Lord have mercy, God forbid that this church would not be offering hollow praise. But genuine, real. Here's a call for us, church. Here's a call for us. Don't lobby God with your lips when your life don't lift him up. Don't lobby God with your lips. See, what they were doing, they were lobbying and God with their lips, but their life did not lift that. God was authority in their life. God was the power in their life. God was security in their life. God was the peace in their life. God was the mercy in their life. God was the greatness in their life. Do you remember them days? Let us, when we leave this assembly, we go out there in the world, that it's not what we say, it's not our talking, but the world would know that our lives lift up Jesus, not as Santa Claus. Our lives lift up Jesus, not as our personal accountant. Our lives lift up Jesus, not because he's the police. Our lives should lift up Jesus because he is, can I spell it for you? L-O-R-D. That's how we should live our lives. But they would not repent. They would not exalt the Lord. So again, with all due respect, when it comes down to our faith, let's make sure our actions are in alignment to what we advertise with our lips. Let's make sure our actions are in alignment with what we advertise with our lips. Now, you guys need to count your blessings that I'm not God. Why you say that, Pastor? I want you to see God's response here. The natural response is, oh, they're artificial worship, they're backslidden, they don't appreciate me, I'm just going to bring a boom. I'm just going to eliminate them. I want to get rid of them. I want to exterminate them. And you want to harbor attitude. I want you to see God's attitude, his response to this rebellious people. You count your blessing. I want you to notice his response that he has to you. God's response to his people, people that are rebellious, people with hypocritical hearts. Well, here's another statement again for structure and application. In verses 8 and 9, we see God's compassion and consideration in the center of chastening. Again, we see God's compassion and we see his consideration in the center of chastening. Translation, they're going to get punished. It's in discipline mode, but you're going to see the heart of God in action when he disciplines. How many of you will realize and believe that God chastened those that he loved? Now, let me preface the next points with some thoughts for a second. I had children, and if you've had children, guess what? If you are following a biblical mandate in your home, by the grace of God, and you are incorporating a course of action to correct the behavior that's not welcome in many circles today, but you, through corporal punishment, or you chasing your children, you are exercising as a loving, faithful parent. How many of you guys know that? So God places us in a very serious position, but I want you to know something. Believe it or not, my boys might debate this, but I didn't enjoy spanking them. This was not something that we wanted to sign up for. I said, what day is it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is spank down day. I can't wait to put it on them. That was not the heart. That was not my heart. You know, my wife and I didn't say, okay, heads or tails, who's taking action first? Who's going to go first? Because, hey, no. It's a heartbreaking exercise, but yet an essential exercise. It's necessary. And I want you to hear God's heart about, do you mean to tell me that you demonstrate compassion in the discipline process? Is that what you're saying, preacher? Because I tell you what, the thing I sit on didn't feel that compassion. It really was not a real good consideration. If it would have considered me, he wouldn't have done what he did. No, I want you to hear what God is saying. God's compassion and his consideration right in the center, in the middle of their chastening, in the middle of their punishment. There's a horizon. Dark clouds are coming in for discipline because of your disobedience. However, I want you to hear my heart, church. Here's what God, the prophet Hosea, is trying to communicate to us in verses 8 and 9. Let me read the text again. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? And how shall I deliver thee, Israel? And how shall I make thee as Admah? And how shall I make them as Zeboim? My heart is turned within me. Highlight that if you got your Bible. Turned within me, and my repentings are kindled together. And I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. I am God and not man, the Holy One, in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. Now, for note, Admah and Zeboim, those are ancient cities in the Old Testament that when God poured down his judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Those were also local cities connected to Sodom and Gomorrah that faced that judgment as well. So they were in the periphery of punishment, if you will. They received the boundaries, that is, they received some of the judgment. Those were cities that were near Sodom and Gomorrah and were destroyed. And for your reference, you can look at that in Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. I just didn't make that up. I got it at the Bible. Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. Anytime you see Ephraim in the Bible, again, Ephraim was the powerful picture of Israel, but one of the big and popular and most prosperous tribes of Israel is Ephraim. So we got Ephraim, people, Admah and Zeboim, cities where people were that were destroyed by Sodom and Gomorrah. Now here's what I want you to see, God's compassion and his goodness and his mercy working here. There are thick clouds of judgments on their way because of their disobedience. But as I said earlier, as a parent, God is not enjoying, nor is he enthusiastic about the pending punishment of his people. Sometimes people characterize God in a human light, and they say, God, just a big bully with a big stick, with a big club, just want to beat on me all the time. You see what's happening in my life, God? Nothing's good. You're always beating on me, God. Oh, God, won't you give me a break, God? Please, remove yourself from that mentality because your description of God has been defined by your experiences. Experiences would never define God accurately. Did you hear me? There's only one accurate description, one complete understanding of God. It's his word. It's the scriptures that define God accurately. And when I'm going through an experience, I trust the truth of the scriptures, and he gives me some help called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have the scriptures to help you process your trial, if you don't use the scriptures and don't place yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then you will have a humanistic understanding of who God is. You'll bring a fleshly understanding, and you won't see God accurately. We're trying to see God accurately according to what the prophet is saying, speaking, God speaking through Hosea. He said, look, my heart is turned within me. And that word repenting is not connected nor associated like with God's sin. Because we know God can't sin. So in the language, in Hebrew, what that word repenting is, that word is comfort. That word is comfort. See, it takes on a different interpretation, does it not? When we see exactly what God's word is saying. He said, my heart is turned in me. Let's visit that for a second. Turned within me. That expression, that phrase is, God is saying this, church. My heart is being overturned and overthrown. Overturned and overthrown. You see, I'm a righteous God, I'm a holy God, I gotta address the sin, and I will address the sin, but while I'm processing this and while I'm implementing the judgment, my heart, church, is broken. My heart has been overturned, and my heart is overthrown. God, what overturns your heart? God, what is overthrowing your anger? It's called compassion. Said my comfort is kindled, burning. I'm repent. The comfort I have, I'm kindled. Here's what happened. Our good and gracious God is saying this, church. My heart is overthrown because it's been conquered by compassion. You can get the Lord a hand with that. Not the pastor, but I hear you, sister. The Lord, because you know in your life God has demonstrated compassion that you didn't deserve. I know I've been in that line many a day, and I'm the pastor. God is so good, I don't deserve that. Bernard, you didn't know. I did that not because of you, but who I am. I did that because I love you. I set my love on you. I set my compassion on you. I know you've been beat down by the world. I know sometimes you make ignorant decisions. Anybody make any ignorant decisions in their life? But God will reach out and say, the same hand that's going to spank you is the same hand that's going to comfort you. I don't know about you, but I want God's hands on me all the time. All the time I want God's hands on me. Our good and gracious God is saying, my heart is overthrown because it's been conquered by compassion. He says, I am the God of all comfort. I know what I'm doing. And my actions are carried out and directed because I'm in comfort. I am comforted by my actions towards you in your discomfort, God's saying. What else, God? What are you saying in verse 9? I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I'm not going to destroy Ephraim. Then he says something very important. Highlight in verse 9. I am God and not man. If you didn't know it, maybe again because of your exposure and your experience and the bad education, you have somehow reduced God, modified God, changed God, like he operates like a man. You know what happens when we bring God from his lofty level and we begin to characterize him, and we begin to implement him in our lives like we're talking to a man? We should never approach God like I'm talking to my neighbor. I should never approach God and treat God like I'm talking to a man. He's God. It demands an approach, reverence, and respect. But at the same time, you know his mercy is pure. You know his grace is good. You know you can trust, as you heard me say before, you can trust the CIA of God, his credibility and his intelligence. You can trust him and his ability to do things. I can trust God. God says, I want you, Cornerstone, to see my majestic mercy in verse 9. My majestic mercy is being manifested. I will not execute my fierceness or my anger, even though I have a right to do so. I will not do that. I will not destroy you from. Everybody say forgiveness. God is not just the master. He's the one that has majestic monopoly on forgiveness. You need his forgiveness, church. We need his forgiveness every day. How many of you guys know that?
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Drawn with a Compassionate and Caring Cord, Part 2. In today's message, Pastor Bernard discussed how God is compassionate to his people, even in the middle of chastening. Even when God's people are suffering the consequences of disobedience to his word, he is still loving and compassionate towards them. God readily offers his forgiveness to those who respond to his chastening with a repentant heart. It is only through repentance that you can enjoy a right relationship with him. To learn more about a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon, encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.